Okay, I'm really sorry. Normally on Zoom you get the closed captions, so if I'm speaking too fast, can you just do that? All right, I'll start. My name's Riku, recovered, not cured, compulsive eater. Hi everybody, really, really good to be here. So I'm just going to start with a little, just a quick prayer. So, higher power, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say and keep me out of your way. Keep me free of ego and self-importance and let me do your will, always. So I have to do that, because if I don't, I just jump in. My ego is just edging God out, God of my understanding. So step one is two parts for me. It's about powerlessness and unmanageability. When I came into this program, I was probably around about the 25 stone mark. Couldn't stop eating, but the unmanageability part I couldn't see. It was really interesting. I had a job, I had a good job, I had a house, I had a husband. On paper, everything was going well, but I just could not leave the food alone. I could not leave it alone, and I didn't understand the addiction at all. And my brother tried to approach me about it years ago. And anyway, long story short, I ate like Bill drank. I ate all the time, and what I didn't realize was, as it talks about in step one, I just kept, had a wee few notes here. This is because of menopause, I'd like to just point out. It's a threefold problem for me. I'm bodily different than my husband, because I have an abnormal reaction to food, and I have an allergy to certain food groups, and when I do, and volume. I am also mentally different. I have an obsession. You know, you piss, no, sorry, it's been recorded. You annoy me, and I will turn to food, because I think X will solve it, and Y will take it away. You know, it tells me really clearly the main problem. In the big book, it tells me the main problem of an alcoholic or a compulsive overeater to me centers in their mind. And it does, and then I'm the spiritual malady, which is the bondage itself. So everything was I to the tune of me. So I wanted to mention the book a wee bit, the Alcoholics Anonymous book. I'm going to just talk about, because this is what I used to get well. This is how I really got well and understood the allergy. And for me, any food that I have to grieve, negotiate or barter has got to go. You know, anything that takes up too much time, anything that I have to justify, because the minute I eat it, I can't stop from starting, and I can't stop when I start. The first bite will demand the second will scream to the third. By the time I taste I don't even taste it, I'm just inhaling the food at that stage, and it's volume, volume, volume. She really annoyed me. I couldn't park my car right. Ridiculous things, because it centers in my mind. If you had told me when I went to the Pamways, I tried everything. I didn't do bariatric surgery. It was the only thing, I got accepted for it, and I never did it. It was the only thing I didn't do, because I knew I'd still want to blow my brains out at the end of it. I knew being thin with this mental obsession was never going to solve my problems. So I just want to jump in and say there's a part in the doctor's opinion that sums it up, and I will paraphrase it. I'll try and read it out. It says men and women drink. So Rita Q ate her alcoholic foods because she loved the effect produced by them. And that was that buzz. And see, when I started eating first, and I started kind of making that thing in step one, the eating was okay. It was giving me a good 10 minutes, and then it was giving me a good 5 minutes. But see, by the time I was really, really in the, you know, absolute gutter, drunk with food, it wasn't even giving me 3 seconds. It just wasn't even doing anything for me. And I couldn't see what it was. I could only see what the food was doing for me. I couldn't see what it was doing to me. Well, everybody else saw what it was doing to me. I was wearing it, and I still wear it to a certain extent. Thank God it's coming down very slowly. And I'm a recovering higher power, so I need to bear that in mind as well. So it says, it goes on to say, they are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort. I can get an ease and comfort from food. I've got a sick stomach, acid reflux, you know, could barely move. I was grumpy. I was so full of processed food. It was horrendous. So there was no ease and comfort, but there was what I believe, because that's what the disease told me. And the disease wants to keep me isolated. And the thing is, the problem is with it all, the phenomenon of craving intensifies. It never satisfies. Never. It never satisfied me. And you know, it goes on to say at the thing, it says, after they've succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, the phenomenon of craving develops. It's really hard to explain that to somebody new about the phenomenon of craving. When you've been institutionalized on how you eat, you need to eat this way, and then you get weighed. You need to eat this way, and then you get weighed. And the thing is, that never made sense to me when I came into OA, and I said, what now? I couldn't make that correlation. And then I remember my very first time, way back in 2003 when I came in. I had some really good years of recovery, and then I had a massive relapse. and then back on track again, thank God, handed it back to God. I took the reins, you know, back. But I just remember standing outside the kitchen door and holding on to it, not being able to work out why I wanted to eat and why I felt rubbish. And that circle was just obsessed with me. I felt crap, I ate. God, I really feel crap now, so I need to eat to stop feeling crap. And it was like a clock of just going round and round, you know. I had amnesia. I couldn't remember. And it says very clearly, I think, you know, on page 30, it talks about our countless vain attempts. And it talks again about lack of power. So step one for me is admitting I am powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. I could manage my job, my husband, my work, everything fine. What I couldn't manage was my emotional behavior. I couldn't, you know, my resentments and fears were horrendous. And then the second part of that was I didn't have a clear food plan. I thought, right, this week I'm not going to eat anything with my pee, or I'm not going to eat anything with L in it, or I'm not going to eat. It was always some rubbish thing. You know, and I tried everything. Oh my gosh, I tried them all. Honestly, I really did. And it just doesn't work. Because if I'm kicking off the phenomenon of craving, I'm putting myself into, you know, withdrawal all the time. So I had to look at why. But I think for me at the beginning, it was very much coming in from a, right, I'm going to be compliant. This is going to be all about compliance now. I can comply. I can comply to any diet. Because I'm a perfectionist. You watch me. I'll show you. But step one in this, what this in a way is surrender. I had to surrender. I had to surrender my higher power status. I had to surrender my crown. I had to surrender, you know, everything and give it to God. And the war was finally over. Once you give it to God, the war will be over. But it just got to my understanding. I just couldn't get my head around it at the beginning. So I acted as if, you hear that a lot, and I did. I thought, right, I can do this. I've done it with the best of them. But the more I realised that I didn't have any power, the more I realised, the more surrender I had to do. And it just became, kind of second nature. Now it is. I wake up every morning and acknowledge that I'm a compulsive eater and that my life is unmanageable. I have to acknowledge that because the amnesia will tell me that I'm not. Today I can just have one of, I can't. I proved that. I went out in a relapse and put on well over 12 stone and it was awful. Because I couldn't differentiate the true from the false. I remember sitting in meetings with people saying, I don't actually eat that much. A 25 stone, that was not a snack of them, I can tell you now for free. It really wasn't. It was somebody who could not control their eating. And it was controlling me. And I'm just really glad to be here, so I feel really honoured to speak. And for me, step one is very much the only step you have to do with 100% perfection. Because it tells me really clearly if there is any lurking notion. And this is the lurking notion part in the big book it talks about. That's where it'll get in. If I believe I can eat like my husband or my best friend who buys certain things that there's a few in and she can leave one, I can't even, like I'm in the car on the way to the supermarket finishing them off. That's just the way I am built. I have to remember I'm bodily different. And I have to remember that I'm somebody who's very self-obsessed, and that was really alien to me for somebody who would have done anything to drop a hat for anybody. But I kept this cosmic score chart, which none of you saw, but by God, I could remember that. That part I could remember. And now I just let things go. But for me, I think step one is just getting on my knees. At the time, it was just asking God for help, asking higher power, tell me what you want me to do. And that's why I always say that prayer, because once my ego gets in, I'm edging my God out. And ego is three things: make me right, make me different, and make me feel good right now. And when I'm an ego, I can't see anything else. And the thing is, my disease will scream at me, but God whispers. And that's the difference. And when I'm listening to that, it's hard to hear the whisper sometimes. If I've not meditated, if I've not done two-way prayer, if I've not talked to God, if I've not done outreach, my step one experience, and it's all about my step one experience. What does that tell me? What are the foods I can and can't eat? What are the behaviors I can and can't do? I barely had a meal. I used to cook dinner for my husband. Half of it would be gone before it even got to the table. Because I could not stop picking and picking and picking. And I could not stop, you know, when I started, like I said. So now step one is I am powerless over food. And my life has become unmanageable. And by the grace of God today, I've had a good few years now where I haven't had to do that. And I no longer have to punish myself with food. Life is no longer about getting what I want. It's wanting what I have. And with that, I'll pass.